in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he won't.
Chewy has struck a chord with this whole athlete thing on the Carpless Talking text line. We have Tony saying, Chewy is delusional. I was a D1 goalie. There's no way LeBron would have been great. If you want good athletes, check out the Irish sport hurling. And no, Chewy, it's not some drunken Saturday night. Check out the video. It's intense. I've never heard of hurling.
You're going to tell me if LeBron didn't commit his entire life to soccer, being a soccer goalie instead of basketball, he wouldn't be unbelievable?
I'm with you, and look, I've never played soccer, so maybe I'm way off here, but I just see what that guy does as an athlete.
He would be...
Yeah.
And his wingspan that he has as the 6'8 athlete. I
mean, him being keeper would probably be not using his skills properly. He could probably be a goal scorer amongst the greatest. Like, he's physically big and fast.
They have no idea how good professional athletes are.
Also, hurling?
Yeah, I have no idea what hurling is. I'll have to go check out the video.
I'm pretty sure it's like, if I remember it correctly, it's like adjacent to like a rugby and field hockey like style of game.
All right.
But I'm saying, as far as LeBron being a soccer goalie, I mean, are you kidding me? He would be the best ever.
Imagine if he played volleyball.
Oh, dear Lord.
He would be the best ever. You know?
Like Dwight Howard played volleyball. Yeesh.
Yeah. What are you going to do with that? There's no answer.
He's just big and can jump out of a gym. Carrie and Mabel saying, hey, dudes, you need a woman's voice in this. LeBron can never do what Simone Biles does, vice versa. Amazing athletes come in all shapes and sizes.
Amazing athletes.
And what makes them superior in their fields.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. Gymnasts.
Amazing athletes.
Especially like the ones that are all around, like that do the all around programs and do all the different things that they have in gymnastics. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And that's body type.
Yeah.
I was telling Joshy, pentathlons.
Oh,
amazing athletes.
Because you're doing all the different things.
Athletes.
You're doing all the different things. And DJ has a problem with you on the Carpless Talking text line. Hold up. Golfers are athletes, but NASCAR drivers aren't. NASCAR drivers require physical strength, cardiovascular endurance, and extreme heat tolerance.
It's all left
turns.
Sport you're just going left.
If
it's
the sport
all
can kill
left
you,
turns.
Then you are totally an athlete.
No.
I mean,
I could go swim with the sharks today and beat the hell out of them, but it doesn't make me an athlete.
You're going to beat the hell out of some sharks today?
Yeah, I know how to do it. You know, dolphins, sharks are deathly afraid of dolphins. I bet you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Like, when we go out into the ocean during the summertime fishing, we wait till we see dolphins, and then we know it's safe that there's no sharks around.
Because the sharks are scared of the dolphins.
Yeah, because the dolphins will... With their snouts, they will ram the sharks, and the sharks will internally bleed.
Oh, wow.
So if I don't have my buddy who I can use as bait to swim out there, I have to wait till I see dolphins.
All right. It's good to know that you've always got a plan. No matter what, you've got a plan anytime you're going out to the ocean. We'll see if the Packers have a plan coming up this offseason. There are a couple of players out there that the Packers have now been linked to. With Tre'Davious Ward being one of the latest ones. He's actually going to be a free agent from the San Francisco 49ers. They're listed as a team that could potentially be one of the favorites to go get him, obviously, because the Packers, especially if they trade away Jaire Alexander or cut Jaire Alexander, that's going to be a position of need. But more interestingly, I think, from the 49ers, and the Packers haven't been necessarily connected to this guy, but what the hell's going on in San Francisco? Like, they're shopping, they're actively shopping Deebo Samuel. And now, John Lynch says that they're listening to offers on their other wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk, whose extension that they just gave him kicks in this year, Chewy. Would Brandon Ayuk be somebody that you would be interested in at 26 years old?
And what's his number? What's
so, again, it becomes complicated because, again, the you don't have to pay the signing bonus because that's already been paid. The Niners would be on the hook for that. Like, he would have a fairly reasonable contract. Now, $26.1 million becomes guaranteed on the first day of April on this contract. But his cap hit this year is $11.1 million.
Well, let me ask you, would you rather have Ayuk or would you rather have Davante Adams?
Brandon Ayuk.
You would?
He's 26 years old. Like, you would have him for the next, you would have him for the next 4 years, and you wouldn't have to really, for Devontae, you got a, what, year, two max? Like, having a 26-year-old, you know, top-of-the-line wide receiver, I think solves a lot of their issues.
An added layer, too, is the Packers tried to trade up for him and got sniped.
Correct. And they clearly liked him when he was drafted.
Right.
But he's not elite. He's not elite.
Just short.
Just short, yeah.
Wide receiver one for sure.
Yeah.
Wide receiver one, but not. I wouldn't put him as a top 10 receiver.
Right.
Fair enough.
But when you balance it against Devontae, like maybe you take, because he is coming off an ACL. That is a thing that also happened last season for Ayuk. But if you take how many years of wide receiver one production you're going to get, you would get more from Brandon Ayuk.
But here's the problem. It's a double whammy, Gabe.
Because you're trading, you'd have to trade the pick. But again, like the contract that you're absorbing is,
it's doable.
It's pretty doable. He signed a 4-year, $120 million deal, and 23 of that you don't have to pay Chew. You don't have to pay $23 million of that because 23 of it was a signing bonus. So you're basically absorbing a 4-year, $100 million deal for a wide receiver one. That's not a bad rate.
I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying the GM that we have doesn't like doing that.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you have to do something at some point like that? Again, maybe he doesn't do it this year, but at some point I would think you got to be a little bit more aggressive in pursuing some of the options to fill out the roster, because when you start going around the roster and you start going around, okay, we've got a need here, here, and here, you know, wide receiver, offensive line, defensive line, cornerback, we've talked about it all offseason. But when you start going through what's available in the free agent market, you're going,
I agree. What would it command, though? Is that a first-round pick?
Coming off an ACL, my guess is it ends up being more of a second-round pick. Like second plus like a fifth or a sixth or something like that.
That would be nice. Now, he is a little bit of a loose cannon, right?
There was...
Think about it. Why are they getting rid of him?
I have no idea.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, there's got to be something there, right?
Well, if you remember, there was a lot of acrimony about him getting paid or not. He was due to get more money. And basically, he was becoming their wide receiver one, but they're paying Debo more, they're paying Kittle more, they're paying CMC more. So, like, he did what he needed to do to get paid. Now, do you think he's going to be unhappy again very briefly? We don't know. But like it's at some point, as we said with Jair, you're okay dealing with that stuff if you're on the field and making plays.
And because he's coming off an ACL injury, maybe that drives the price down a little bit. But then I don't know if he's going to be available for the start of the season. That's kind of sketchy. I'm saying,
is there something behind the curtain that we don't know about? Because it really doesn't make sense.
But if it was something physical,
he takes a physical.
Yeah, if it was something physical, the Packers would be able to figure that out. If it's something that's beyond that. But I have no idea what the Niners are doing, you know, because they're, again, shopping Debo Samuel, shopping Brandon Ayuk, playing hardball with their quarterback in Brock Purdy. I have no idea what the 49ers are doing.
I mean, do they have money? I mean, are they in cap trouble? I didn't think they were in cap trouble where they have to purge everyone to pay Purdy.
Purdy? I don't think they're in that much cap. I mean, the way I thought they had kind of set it up was, they're going to have money available for Purdy, not much else, but... Again, the only teams that seemingly are in cap trouble that they can't get out of are the Saints in perpetuity. Yeah. They just are $50 million over the cap to start every season somehow. And the Browns, because of the fully guaranteed contract that they gave to Deshaun Watson. Like, everybody else isn't really in that much trouble. Especially with the cap going up more. The cap's gone up, Chewy, $100 million since 2021. Coming out of the pandemic... In 2021, the salary cap was $182.5 million. This year, it's going to be $279.2 million.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just think there's something there.
Could be.
For them to get rid of their guy, whether it's a medical issue, whether it's they've had it with him.
See, but also, wouldn't we say there was more to Xavier McKinney and Saquon? Like, teams do and owners meddle. Doesn't it reek of owner meddling that you sign a guy to a giant contract and then proceed to trade him? Because it seemed like GM John Lynch wanted to move on. He wanted to go a different direction than Brandon Ayuk. The next thing you know, he became one of the highest paid wide receivers in all the NFL. And now a year later, after he doesn't produce a lot, gets injured, he's on the trade block?
Yeah, it's just
bizarre. Like, it's inconsistent vision.
And this isn't the Jets. I mean, San Francisco is a well-respected franchise throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
This just smells a little funny. And yeah. I mean, if everything checks out, yes. And you get a you have to give up a second round pick. Hell, I'd do it tomorrow.
I have a question for Casey on the talking text line, the Carbless talking text line 800-990-3776. He's coming off an ACL, which again is a fair. You know, if you're concerned about that, I think that's fair. He's coming off an ACL and was trash before the injury. No thanks. Nothing about Ayuk is number one receiver material. All right, so if 75 catches for 1,342 yards and 7 touchdowns is trash, what are the Packers receivers? If that's trash.
I use this sparingly.
What are we talking about?
That is a terminal case of not knowing ball. That is, you need to seek doctors, you need to seek advice, because that's just not knowing ball.
I'm the numbers are right in front of me. He was second team All-Pro in 2023 before his injury last year, and he had 1,300 yards receiving, Chewy. 1,300 yards receiving.
I know, but that smells of someone who had him on his fantasy football team.
Yes. Oh, this past
the
year?
Until he went down. Sure. And now.
Yeah.
No. I mean, trash.
Did anything in San Francisco go well for them last year?
Not so much. Christian McCaffrey. Ugh.
McCaffrey, Purdy got hurt. Purdy wasn't even playing that well.
Debo was awful.
Debo was bad.
George Kittle played pretty well.
Yeah, George Kittle was good. Bosa was good.
That's about it.
It's about it in San Francisco. And again,
to put their two receivers on the trading block.
Yeah, something's.
I mean,
off.
I understand Debo.
Oh yeah, 100%.
He's regressed.
Yeah.
But Ayuk, after 1 year, and they paid him, they'd have to eat the bonus.
Yeah, they'd be eating almost $40 million in cap space. Like it's a $40 million cap hit, dead cap if they get rid of him.
No, there's something more to it.
And it's one of those situations, Chewy, where sometimes if you release or trade a player, you like do the post June 1 designation thing. But because he has a giant bonus that's due the 1st of April, it would be worse if they waited. So they've got to kind of get this done within the next month if they do indeed end up trading him.
Yeah.
It's just something's weird. Something just doesn't.
Yeah, something's afoot.
Not passing the smell test in San Francisco, which, as a Packers fan, makes me happy, because that could potentially take some team that you would be competing with off the board.
Their odds to win the Super Bowl right after were higher than the Packers, which even with Ayuk, I didn't understand.
It didn't make a lot of sense. That's what Joshua would call a bad bet. That would be a bad bet to be throwing money on the San Francisco 49ers right now. How much pressure is on the Green Bay Packers? Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike had they were kind of talking about it on their show. We hear what Evco had to say about that, and we discuss next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by YouTube, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. They're talking about the Green Bay Packers. And I want Chewy to hear this sound about the pressure Evco believes the Packers are under.
I think there's sneaky pressure on the Packers. I don't think people are acknowledging, like, they have a new team president coming up for next year. They've kind of been on the verge for now a few years, and they haven't gotten over the hump yet. I think there's a little bit more pressure on the Packers, coach and quarterback, than we're acknowledging.
I think there's pressure on the quarterback. I don't know how much pressure is on the head coach. They got rid of a first ballot Hall of Fame. All they've done is gone to the playoffs in back-to-back years. And, oh, by the way, they won a playoff game during that span. I don't know how much pressure is on Matt LaFleur. I don't. Now, Jordan Love, he's got to live up to that $55 million a year contract. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him. He's put together good stretches of a season, but not a complete season.
Would you agree that the Packers maybe have a little more pressure heading into this offseason, Chew?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it yesterday. I mean, Green Bay is a different measure than most other teams in the league, right? We measure ourselves by Super Bowl championships, which a handful of other franchises do. I mean, and I'm, you know, the regular season is great, right? But we don't care if we just make the playoffs. We want farther. And I'm, what I said yesterday is, like, how long do we spin our wheels and lose in the first or second round in the playoffs every single year? And we said it last week or 2 weeks ago, Gabe, 15 years is, I think, an appropriate time, like the Packers, to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
And we're at what, right? We'll be at 15 years.
This will be this year. 15 years, yeah. Yeah, because they won in the 2010 season, and now we're heading into the 2025 season.
I mean, what do you – I don't know. I just look back to Ron and Ted, right? Ron won the Super Bowl in his fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
Ted won the Super Bowl in his what year?
Fifth year.
Right around there.
Yeah, fifth year. Because I think he came in 2005.
Goody has been here
fifth,
for
six years,
how many
like
years?
Goody took over in 19?
Eighth.
18? He took over before they brought in LaFleur, right?
7, 8 years?
So 18.
Right? I mean, how many years do you give him without winning a Super Bowl? Yeah.
This will be his eighth season.
Yeah.
I mean, how many years?
Well, here, let's do something. Let's power rank the big three. Goody. Most to least pressure.
Most to least pressure?
Goody, okay. LaFleur, Love.
I would say the most. We want to go 3-1? Do the big reveal at the end? So
the
I would
least
say
is Love.
I would no. The least I think is LaFleur.
No,
I think LaFleur has kind of established himself as a really good coach.
I know, but Gabe, they fired Marty Schottenheimer how many times?
Yeah, I mean
they fired him 3 times.
But that was bad teams. Like the Packers aren't going to fire him. The Packers aren't going to be fired. Like I don't think that LaFleur is anywhere near. Like, I mean, they could have a bad season this year, and then he's on the hot seat. Like, there's no world where I think there's a ton of pressure on Matt LaFleur. Is there pressure? Sure, but I think there's more pressure on the other two. LaFleur's my number 3.
I would put LaFleur 2. I'd put Goody 1, and obviously Love 3.
I think Love's 1.
I think Love's 1.
Why? He's only...
See, he got paid $55 million.
I know, but he's going into, what, year 3 as
year
a
3.
Starter?
Wait, yeah. Hold on. You're Mr. You can't call him a third year. What the heck's going on here?
We need to go to break.
What the?
No, but I don't think
playable
you
sides.
Can. Look. I don't. If Jordan Love has Philadelphia's offense, he goes farther. He
sure,
goes farther.
But he doesn't win a Super Bowl.
I mean,
Bowl.
Jordan Love is not Patrick Mahomes.
No, but he doesn't win a Super Bowl.
But he doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes.
Correct. But they, I mean, which is, but he needs to be better than he was. Like
yes,
in those games where they played the best competition last year, the Lions, the Vikings, the Eagles, Jordan Love played his worst football. I'm not expecting him to be perfect in all of those games. Those are tough opponents. That's the point, right? Like those teams are going to make it difficult on you, but you've got to be better. Like Jordan Love,
you know what?
Jordan Love needs to be a top 10 quarterback, and he did not play like one last year.
You know what makes him better? A number one receiver.
Yeah,
a number one receiver and a coach that says, you know what? I'm done with this spreading the ball around. I'm going to craft here. I got to develop plays where it's his bread and butter, which I have not seen. It seems like every ball Kraft catches, it's a different kind of route, you know? And pivot from there. Put your best players on the field and let them play 60 plays.
I think, so Tucker Kraft played virtually every snap he physically could.
Mm-hmm.
I think we spent time thinking they were being nice and splitting time versus what actually probably happened is no one cemented themselves as deserving to be on the field 100% of the time from the wide receiver room. Josh Jacobs was out there as much as humanly possible.
Yep.
Tucker Kraft, as humanly possible. All those wide receivers, now obviously injuries do factor in here, but the leader was Christian Watson, who had a year that you would say left a lot to be desired in terms of production.
Correct.
And then it was Romeo Doubs, who also then fell off. Like, none of those guys set themselves as, we need to be on the field and we need to be targeted 8 times a game or you guys are doing a disservice.
Jaden Reed was that guy early, fell off late.
Yes. Like, it, I think they were searching more so than they were playing everybody gets 30 snaps a game type deal.
But let me just go down the list here for top receiving tight ends in the league last year, because we think he's pretty damn good, right?
Yeah, we think he can take that big leap in year three.
Brock Bowers, where's receptions? 112. Yeah, I mean, Terry McBride, 111. Yeah. George Kittle, 78. Juno Smith, 88. Travis Kelce, 97. Sam Laporta, 60. And then Tucker Kraft at 50. All I'm saying is Tucker Kraft, I think, is good enough to catch 70 balls.
Oh, I think you want to give him 30.
And he caught 50.
My goal for him next year should be 80.
Yeah.
Holmgren would always come in. He broke it down. He's like, Z's should have 85 to 100, right? X a little. X and the tight end should be kind of hand in hand.
Pretty similar.
Like me and Keith, when we played, Holmgren's like, I expect 70. And it was not really, because the game's kind of moved back to where they run the ball more. He's like, you and Keith should catch 75 balls to 80 between the two of you. You know? He's got the talent. It's just like, let him put it in fifth gear. Like with some of these other guys.
And that's more on the floor.
That's more on the floor.
That's more on the floor. I think the most pressure is on Goody to show the urgency that he is insisting upon and Jordan Love to take that next step.
Mm-hmm. No, what I think from Goody is there comes a time where you got to pivot, right? Gabe, it's like the first 15 before a game, right? Sometimes you're not going to get them in. Sometimes the quarterback drops the snap, and all of a sudden it's you know, second and 15, and you got to be like, well, there goes the first 15.
Well,
you got to pivot.
Yeah, if you go out
the way I wanted it to,
three and out. I'm guessing you're going to pivot from the first 15.
Sure.
You know, six plays into it, because you've gone three and out back to back time. Okay, these aren't working. We got to go to something else.
The best GMs in the leagues are the ones that are like, you know what? I'm either going to be a king or I'm going to be fired. That's what I want, you know? And that's what Ron Wolf was. That's what Ron was. His first thing when he went to Green Bay, went up to Bob Harlan, hey, I'm going to trade for Favre. And he's like,
that's
really?
Still.
What?
That's still the most insane. It's the thing that has made the Packers what they are today, that specific trade. Can you imagine if you traded a first-round pick for a guy who was a backup, like third stringer? Like, you trade a first-round pick, and this was a guy who was a second-round pick the year before.
Yeah.
And, like, if that happened today, the backlash from the fan base would be insane.
Not only that, a guy who missed the team photo.
Yeah. To say a guy who didn't have a great track record at his time in the NFL thus far.
A guy when he first came in and we're sitting at a table with Frank, and Frank's sitting there with Brett. We don't know one another. He's like, what position do you play? He's like, quarterback. And he's like, really? I thought you were a linebacker.
Maybe he was, you know, put on a couple of pounds after
slightly bloated. Just a little bit bloated.
Well, the beer he was drinking down in Atlanta.
A couple extra barley pops.
Imagine that today, the media would go wild. They'd be like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Goody would be dragged across the coals if a similar trade was made today.
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
100%.
But I would respect it. Might not agree with it, but I'd be like, hey, you know what?
If you traded a first-round pick this year for a guy who was a second-round pick last year and had played like 10 snaps the way that Brett did in Atlanta, I don't know if I'd respect it. I'm going to be honest. I don't think I'd respect it.
Josh, hey, sometimes you got to hit 16, right?
Don't really know what that means.
Blackjack, 16. Oh.
No?
No. I play by the book, too.
You don't split eights?
No, you always split aces and eights.
Oh, I don't know. I'd split everything. Because I'm an aggressive gambler.
When was the last time you played blackjack, and how mad did the people around you get?
They get mad. Yeah. Because I have no patience.
You have 19, you know? Sir. Hit me. What?
I go in 15 minutes to playing $20 a hand to all in every time.
I can see that. Yes, I can see that. We are going to quiz Chewy. It is time to see how much the big guy remembers from things he said throughout the course of the week. The Week in Reach You is coming up next.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Oh, Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hit it.
How you feeling, big guy? You feeling good about this?
I feel good, yeah.
All right. One of our favorite segments here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, where we quiz Chewy on what he said and see if he remembers it throughout the course of this past week. It's time to play a little Week in Reach You.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Reach You.
Five questions. You get three right, you win. You get three wrong, you lose. Let's go ahead and start with question number one. Joshy, take it away.
Can I ask you guys a question? Where do you guys stand on disrespect?
How were you disrespected last week Friday?
The Spaniard dropping a deuce in my studio. That, I mean, the
Chewy
worst
does have a bathroom
all...
in the studio. I just want to make it clear that he just didn't walk over somewhere in the corner.
But the worst was when he left and was going out the door, he stopped and stretched using the door to get out of here, like as kind of like in your face.
Yeah.
Which was the most disrespectful thing, I think. But I'll get him back. I already told him. Because he's going to Mexico with us.
Oh, boy.
You know what they say about payback.
I mean, it's best served cold, but it's not going to be cold in Mexico.
No.
He was looking for payback as a witch.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so we're off to a good start. One for one. Question number two, Joshy.
The handyman's tail.
Oh, my God.
What is the actual name of the show you left out of your power rankings?
Handyman's Tale.
The Handmaiden's Tale.
The Handyman's Tale.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was close. I was close.
Just completely.
Important to reiterate that he was reading that word. And just
thank you, Josh.
I was just gonna let it go.
I just, you know what we're gonna call that from now on? I just got strofed. I just got strofed.
Pivotal question number three, Joshy.
So I've been sent the blue cap and had no idea what it meant. Oh Lord.
What does the blue cap emoji stand for?
Yeah, Angry sends me this all the time. And I never knew what it meant. I thought it was, I have no idea. I really don't know.
You don't remember?
No.
Lying. Lying or BS. Somebody's calling BS. They're capping. Yes.
I just don't see the correlation between lying and a blue cap.
Well,
what is it?
Because the slang term is called cap. Capping. But so, a blue cap.
I'm focused on the blue. Why the blue?
It's the only color offered.
It's the only color of the cap emoji. So, the cap is just default blue. The cap is the more important part than the blue cap.
Do you guys use it?
I do not, because I also had no idea what capping was until we learned earlier this week.
Okay. I knew what it was, but I do not use it because I'm too old and white for that.
Josh, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do you type out ha-ha instead of just sending the laughing emoji?
Because I don't use a lot of emojis.
Same.
Why?
It's an extra button.
No, it's not. It's easier than typing H-A-H-A. You just... I don't understand it. Your theory here is flawed. It's gross.
I have to bring up another...
Keyboard.
Yeah.
You exit the keyboard, you go to the emoji place, and then you got to scroll to find what you want.
Yeah. Gabe.
Chewy.
I bet I could do the laughing emoji faster than Josh.
Well, yeah, because you say it out loud.
What does that mean?
You talk text.
No, not with emojis. I don't even know how to do that.
I think you just say the emoji.
Yeah.
Laughing emoji?
Yeah, I think if you were to say laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji, it would put it up.
It'd be 3 of the laughing emojis.
See, if
try
I
it, give it a shot
manually
right
manually myself, I think I could beat that too.
Give it a shot. Let me see. Do your talk text and see if you can get it to do laughing emojis for you.
Hold on. Hold on. All right, I'll send it to you guys.
All right.
Hold on. How do you do this?
You talk to text all the time. What do you mean, how do you do this?
Oh, you want me to talk to text?
Yes.
Instead of...
Yeah, talk to text to see if the emoji
laughing
happens.
Laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji. No, mine's way quicker. And it's the wrong emoji. It's the wrong one. I want the one with the tears and the laugh.
So that's crying with laughter emoji. Yeah. Just like the eyes
greater
closed.
Greater than,
yeah.
Less than. Yeah. You guys stink.
All right, we got distracted. Time to head back. You got to get the last two right here, big guy.
Okay.
You got to get the last two correct. Question number 4, Joshy.
Make a hot.
Well, one of my favorite things to do.
What is your favorite thing to do?
What day was this?
I think it was Wednesday.
I think so.
I don't know, sleep.
We didn't start, but in the opening segment today, you did this as well.
What was the opening segment? How did we stretch? How did we stretch?
Well, we stretched first with Joshy's thing, but then we got to you and your story from last night.
The oversell, or what do we call it?
Yeah, what were you doing about the oversell?
Yeah.
What? I'm trying to complaining.
Complain.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a big complainer. Am I? Am I a big complainer?
Hall of Fame.
Wow, that was no hesitation either, Chew. Like, he jumped in. I don't even think you finished the question.
You know what? Why do I do this?
That's a great question.
Like, why? I mean, clearly I'm the most abused person on the show.
True. It's very true.
Yeah, that's fair, though. I guess I bring it on myself.
Yeah, from time to time.
Okay.
All right, let's just see if you can get this one so you can avoid just going 1 for 5 on the questions. Joshy?
And she has not paid up yet.
Hold on.
What did you think Angie still had to pay up on?
My birthday. You know
Joshy?
What I mean.
Joshy?
I'm just saying. Yep, you know what I mean?
It was a specific thing that you thought.
This is a specific thing, Josh.
Well, this is also a very specific thing.
This is a specific thing you thought she had to hand to you. She did something but didn't do X, Y, and Z, and you thought you incorrectly were owed something. Has to do with a holiday.
Turns out that you actually owed something.
I'm very disappointing today. I have no idea.
So your wife flashed you.
Oh, the beads.
Yes.
And you thought that because she flashed you, she owed you beads. But realistically, you're supposed to give
famously,
her
it's the other
beads.
Way around.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not real good with specifics or whatever you
want to
call it.
Man, that was... So you've never gotten all of them incorrect. So that ties your worst performance ever of just getting 1 of the 5 correct.
Yeah, that's not good. Oof. That day. But you know what? As I told you in the production meeting, Gabe, I'm almost already in Mexico.
Yeah, you've got senioritis big time.
Yeah.
Senioritis big time.
I'm not going to lie.
Look, I don't blame you. I'm probably going to be the same way next week when I've got when I've got my Vegas. And then I'm going to Florida right after that. So,
what?
Yeah. Yeah. Coming back for a Friday. I'm going to come back from Vegas. I am going to do the show Friday, the 14th. And then the following Saturday, I am jumping on a plane to go play golf in Florida.
Where?
Port St. Lucie at the PGA Village.
Ah, you're big time, huh?
So.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be big time senioritis. A lot of golf in my future. So I don't blame you for having senioritis when you're still a couple of days away from Florida. We'll see what we put on the polls coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jen Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos
Burma?
The last
few
weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
on 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Really, all throughout the course of the week, we didn't put much on the polls. But today we do have, and you can go vote it right now, at Jen Gabe Chewy, which Green Bay Packer is under the most pressure in 2025. And Jordan Love is running away with it. 61.4% saying Love. LaFleur at 20.5%, 18.2% for Brian Gutekunst. And I feel you went the exact opposite order of that, did you not?
Yeah. I think Love's, you got to get him help and a little more time.
I think we can just blame that on you being on a mental break.
You mean in Mexico?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not thinking through the correct answer.
Yeah, you're already three mimosas deep.
God, why do you guys so... you got to give Love a little bit of a pass.
Well, yeah, like, I've been patient so far, but, like, if he plays the way he did this year, next year, like, it's a little panicky for a guy that you gave $55 million a year to.
I'll say this. If he plays the way he did this past year with a number one receiver, then I am with you. But I don't think that'll happen. I'm not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but I will say he will be markedly better with a true number one receiver.
I didn't know you gave up on holding people accountable.
I hold myself accountable. Why silence?
thought the silence was self-explanatory. But...
I mean, hey, Gabe, let me just say this. I expect it from the guy laughing.
You expect me to have your back a little bit more?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know what? That's fair.
I'm starting to wonder.
That's
here.
Fair. That's fair. That's very fair. I got you.
Yeah. But
when it comes to Love, to me, it's just, it's not even, it's like the footwork stuff. It's the other stuff that just kind of got away from him, especially as the season went along. And look, I'm willing to explain away some of it because, it's, first time playing with injury. You got to figure out how to play through that. But I think he has to be still more efficient if you're playing through injuries. Because as you bring up, Chewy, it's great that he's out there, but everybody's hurt at some point. You got to find a way to still be effective while playing through the injury.
I agree, but much like I say how Goody needs to pivot a little bit in his philosophy on how to build a team, I think LaFleur needs to pivot as well, because your successful quarterbacks, not all of them, but a lot of the successful quarterbacks in this league, tuck it and run.
Yeah.
And I think he needs to do more of that, and I think once he does, the third down percentage is going to get better. They're going to defend him a little bit better, and I think with a number one receiver, he will get better.
In fairness, I do think LaFleur has shown an ability to pivot. And this year, and as much as they ran the football, and as differently as they ran the football to make life easier for Josh Jacobs, showed that he is willing and able to pivot when necessary.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think he's got that.
Yeah, we'll see.
One poll that we did put on there back on Wednesday from our time with Adam Schefter that I'm curious and want to get your take on. How far out do you look at the weather when going on vacation? A week out ended up winning 48.4%. I just look a day or two out, and I got dominated. You are under a week, so you'd be in that week out. Have you taken a look to see what the weather's going to be like when you're in Mexico?
No, because I know how. I guarantee if I looked right now, it would say rain for three of the days I am there. And you know what? It may rain for 10 minutes, and that's it.
Is this a situation where you also have gone on this trip around this time so much where you don't even have to look at it? Yeah. You don't even have to look at it. You know what you're packing. Like, I've got these swim trunks, I've got these shorts, these shirts, and I'm good.
Yes, exact same. It's different for girls. And Angie's not a big, she's a little bit of fashion, but you can only take the blue romper to Mexico 4 years in a row because it's the same picture every year when, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you've got the same like three t-shirts you're going to cycle through.
I don't care, I don't care.
The person who sits next to you on the plane might.
No, I'm saying going out to dinner because you kind of dress up, but it's so bush league that you... Let me ask you this. This bothers the hell out of me. Do we have time?
Of course, yeah.
Why can girls wear open-toed shoes to good restaurants and guys have to wear closed-toed? It is not fair. It's not fair.
I would say men's feet are... Yeah.
Nappy?
They're a lot more ugly. They're just uglier than women's feet. Women take care of their feet better than men.
Typically, also, if a woman is going to wear an open-toed shoe, they will take extraordinary steps, get their toenails painted, pedicure, things of those natures.
Yeah.
You slapping on some thong sandals and cruising into the dining room there, not the same thing.
But who looks at feet?
Everyone.
Who looks at feet? I do not look at feet.
If I saw your gnarled feet walking in, I'd take a peek.
They're gnarled. I mean, there's a bone I should have took care
of. You played in the NFL for almost 10 years. If your feet weren't a mangled mess, that would be more shocking.
Yeah. I mean, I should have took care of the bone spur when it was free, I played from them.
You look like a freak.
And I'm not paying for it because it doesn't bother me.
Well, there you go. And that's why you've got to wear a closed-toe shoe when you go out to dinner.
I mean, you could throw on like a comfortable pair of loafers and get away with it.
Yeah, but it's the sweat, Josh. It's the sweat. And I don't want to pack socks.
Fun. You don't have to. I mean, some of those you don't have to wear socks with.
My feet freak.
We're back to square one.
And with that, we bid you adieu for the week. Wildy and Tausch coming up next.